Leaving an employer can be stressful and overwhelming, but once the dust settles and you're at a new job or perhaps retired, it is important to consider your options for that retirement plan left behind. If this situation applies and you would like to hear more about options available for 401k, 403b, or other retirement account rollovers, please give our office a call at 503-253-3000 to schedule a complimentary consultation with someone on the team to go over your specific and individual situation. We will take the time to get to know you, your goals, and let you know what the best course of action is for you and your family. The opinions voiced in Investing Simplified with Bo Caldwell are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with an attorney, accountant, financial, or tax advisor prior to investing. Investors cannot invest directly in indexes. The performance of any index is not indicative of any investment and does not take into account the effects of inflation and the fees and expenses associated with investing. A diversified portfolio does not assure profit or prevent losses in a declining market. Roth IRA conversion is a taxable event. Guests on Investing Simplified are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investment services offered through Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Welcome into Investing Simplified. However you're joining us today, thank you for making us a part of your day. I'm Bo Caldwell, CFP, President and CEO here at Price Financial Group. Wanted to welcome you in today, and I wanted to start with a little bit of an announcement, and we're going to continue to announce this most likely every week, so bear with me, you know, as we start the show here. But we have partnered with a CPA firm here in town in Portland called R. Hug CPAs and Associates down in Tigard, and Matt and myself have partnered with them to provide, you know, assistance in the tax space to small business owners and individuals that need CPA assistance. And we're really excited because for our clients, the families that we serve, we can continue to be helpful in providing those services. Now, I don't mean to say this because, hey, there are no other options out there. There are lots of good CPA firms out there, but we are just really excited to partner with a firm that has been here locally for the last 40 years and been serving clients, and to help those families transition, you know, their businesses potentially or their families, you know, things that they need with the tax planning. Because as a financial planner, right, Matt and myself and the rest of the team, you know, we can certainly do our best to provide different options when it comes to the financial planning space and when it comes to investments and retirement. But we only know so much about the tax side, and we lean on people, you know, like Kevin Stege at Baker & Colson and like the folks at R. Hug CPAs and Associates, because they are partnered with us. And so we can rely on them to answer those hard tax questions, because there are pieces of your financial picture that I can't always handle, right? Same with, you know, estate attorneys. And we are on the lookout for, you know, good groups to partner with always. We do have a few good ones here in town that we work with right now that we trust and do a great job. You've heard some of them here on the radio. And we're hoping to bring more of that, more, you know, expertise here into the radio space in the weeks to come. So with that, you know, off my chest, you know, if you have been looking for a CPA or you've been thinking about needing one, I know it is really hard right now to find CPAs that are taking on new clients. You can give Baker & Colson a call, or you can give us a call and get piped through to R. Hug CPAs and Associates down there in Tigard, depending on what's, you know, a little bit more available to you and your family. So with that out of the way, let's get into the good stuff, right? You know, what's happening in the markets? What do we see in the markets? What do we see from an investing side as it applies to your overall retirement picture? We're going to be speaking more later in the show about different pieces of the financial plan and different pieces of your retirement picture. But I like to start off today by talking through those items that are, you know, top of mind for a lot of people. And one of them is because we heard from, you know, Jerome Powell this week and heard from the Fed, is that, you know, the Fed has been so much in focus when it comes to the markets. And, you know, what's really funny is basically if you take like over the last 15 years or so, 9 years out of those 15, nobody really even thought about the Fed, right? You know, okay, well, we know quantitative tightening called, you know, QT, or quantitative easing called QE. But really, the Federal Reserve held interest rates at zero, you know, every year, it seemed like, for a long time, right? And they, in 2017, 2018, they lifted the rates, and basically that was all anyone could talk about. If you remember 2018, we had the rates lifted, and then the market took a big tumble at the end of 18, right? And so then they lowered them again and went back to zero, right? The rates are headed up, right? You've seen that over the last 6 to 12 months. We've seen rates continue to climb, and, you know, depending on, you know, what happens in the coming months, then they may continue to decline as well, right? It's pretty funny. As of last week, the futures market, the Fed fund futures market, expected the Fed to cut rates by the end of this year. Now, we'll see, because, you know, no matter what Jerome Powell says and what the Fed, you know, Federal Open Market Committee says, you got to wait till they actually do the thing that they say they're going to do, as we saw this week, right? But it's interesting because Fed has said inflation is their number one bugaboo that they're going after with these rate hikes, right? So they're saying inflation, inflation, inflation. And while, you know, the next inflation print isn't till this coming week, you know, here on May 10th, it still appears to be coming in pretty hot, right? It appears that we're going to be having some pretty good rates. And long-term bond yields, you know, you saw this week, long-term bond yields took a dive super hard. And one of those things that usually means, right, is that long-term bond yields are going down and stock prices have been, you know, lately at least drifting up, right? So that's not really tightening, right? When we talk about, you know, financial conditions, that, you know, basically the financial conditions aren't tightening, right? Which is usually when they would cut rates. So, you know, I don't think we've seen, you know, weakness in the labor market that we need to see. We haven't really seen, you know, GDP prints come in poorly enough for them to start, you know, pulling rates down, right? Now, we see inflation day to day, right? If you've been to the store at any point recently, you've seen inflation day to day. So why would they cut rates and ease the money supply is, you know, is sort of my question. Now, it might happen, but that's where I'm kind of, you know, thinking, ugh, I don't know what's going to happen. Now, banks, right, at the same time, we've seen a lot of banks. A couple weeks ago, First Republic, you know, was bought out by the FDIC. We saw a Silicon Valley Bank go down, big banks. And these are big banks, you know, that have gone down, biggest ones in a long time. So how does that kind of, the way I see it is that the Fed has used the FDIC, right, to bail out those banks. So they also did some bond buyback programs, the Fed did. I don't want to get too deep into it. But so now they've done that to kind of wall off these banking problems to keep the bank contagion, as it were, from spreading, right? But the thing that policymakers don't watch, and, you know, I say policymakers lightly, you know, the folks in Washington that are supposedly paying attention to these things don't really watch, and it's because it's not in their purview, right? But is what's called M2, right? It's a measure of the total money supply, right? And so I've talked about this before, but money supply in the economy, you've got a lot of money available, logically, that means that inflation is going to go up, right? Because if you have more dollars, then things are going to cost more of those dollars, right? So the dollar is not worth as much when buying goods or paying for services. Now, this isn't to say the dollar, when we're talking about, as I talked about before, the dollar losing its reserve currency or the dollar against other currencies. I'm talking about just pure money supply, because there has been an excess money supply in Europe too, right? Basically, M2, or the money supply that we have in this country, surged just about 40% in the first 2 years of COVID, right? So basically early 2022 is when the M2 money supply hit a plateau, right? And started dropping slowly last summer, but it's actually down quite a bit. According to this research paper by First Trust, it's down 4.1% in the last 8 months. And according to that report and the reporting they've done, that's actually the steepest, fastest decline since the early 1930s, right? Now, if that decline is real, which, you know, you could say there's some reason for skepticism because, you know, how much do you trust the Fed and what the Fed says, right? And they don't really release the data as fast and as frequently as they used to. And also, it, you know, doesn't have as much detail as it used to. But if it continues through 2023, right, if they continue to reduce the money supply, that M2 supply, then in 2024, the economy could be in, you know, we could be talking about a recession, which we've been talking about, whether it's later this year or early 2024. Like I said, in our view, we feel like that is pretty much a given. Could be wrong, right? But that's how we feel, and that's what we're seeing. But it very well could be wrong. But basically, if we continue to pull this money supply in, then conceivably we could see a sharp decline, a super sharp decline in inflation, which would be good, right? I mean, when I say sharp decline in inflation, we'd all think that was great, except for it doesn't mean deflation, right? Stuff's not cheaper. It just is getting more expensive slower, right? Which is just to say, hey, you know, what happens if this money supply reduction continues? We haven't seen it historically. So that kind of rosy look that the futures market has had and that a lot of analysts have had about the market, and they get kind of, you know, pumped up by the start of the year, right? When the year starts off so strong, to us doesn't really seem like, you know, like it's going to be able to continue really, right? Also, the thing about it is, you know, and I'm hopeful that someone will ask at some point, and whether they're asking the Fed or Treasury, you just ask them, how is the Fed financing their day-to-day expenses, right? Because I talked about it a few weeks ago, but you realize when they talk about the Fed funds rate, that's the rate that they're paying banks to hold in reserves, right? So these big banks, the JP Morgans, the Citigroups, you know, the big six is usually what they call them. But what they have to pay is, you know, that's what we have to pay those banks to hold those reserves. And so it's significant money that the Fed is paying to those banks, and it's significantly higher than they're earning on treasuries, right? And mortgage-backed bonds, that's what they own. You know, we heard about the Treasury buying these mortgage-backed bonds and buying their own treasuries, or the Fed, excuse me, buying treasuries and mortgage-backed bonds. But, you know, how is it financing that? I mean, that means, you know, if it's paying more in interest than it is earning, it has negative cash flow, right? And potentially, that could mean that it's now lost more than the actual capital that it has, you know, the actual price of those bonds. So are they letting those bonds mature and using cash to pay expenses, or are they printing more money and just not telling us about it? So those sort of pieces, to me, you know, lay out a narrative that's a little different than what the sort of rosy outlook on the markets could be. Now, as I said before, take all of this with a grain of salt, because Lord knows, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going to happen, but it just, to me, adds up a lot of items that make me want to be more defensive and a little bit more cautious personally. And with the portfolios that we're managing, we're a little more cautious and defensive, and make sure that, you know, you have a plan for what could be a really tough recession. I've been saying, you know, up until maybe the last 3 or 4 months, we've thought it would be a relatively shallow recession, a healthy recession, as it were, that we need to, you know, flush out some of the overbought conditions in the markets, get some of this money out of the money supply, help slow down inflation. It's been good, right? But with bond market kind of flashing recession signals and flashing market correction signals, you know, does the correction turn into, rather than a correction, it turns into a full-on bear market again. It turns into a deeper correction, right? Because last year, we had a pretty deep correction in the markets, but then it bounced back pretty good to start this year. Who knows what's going to happen for the rest of the year and the next couple of years? And my fear is there's a lot of money pumping into those stocks and people just aren't prepared. So how does that affect you, or what should you do? That's a question I can't answer for you specifically, unless and until you sit down with a member of our team and go over your retirement plan or your financial plan and get that complimentary review. Right? So get yourself sat down with us, see what our process is. You'll see our proprietary process that we use with the families that we serve. And we'll tell you what we think and how we would do it if you were one of those families that we served. And if that sounds great, we'd love to work with you. We'd love to help. But worst case is you can have that peace of mind that someone else took a look at it and told you what you were doing. They wouldn't change anything. That could be worth a lot. And we're doing that complimentary for radio listeners. So give us a call, 503-253-3000, or visit our website at www.pricefg.com. We'll be right back with more Investing Simplified.
Leaving an employer can be stressful and overwhelming, but once the dust settles and you're at a new job or perhaps retired, it is important to consider your options for that retirement plan left behind. If this situation applies and you would like to hear more about options available for 401k, 403b, or other retirement account rollovers, please give our office a call at 503-253-3000 to schedule a complimentary consultation with someone on the team to go over your specific and individual situation. We will take the time to get to know you, your goals, and let you know what the best course of action is for you and your family.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified. However you're listening, thank you for tuning in today. If you missed parts of our show or just want to listen to my sultry voice again, you can tune in via podcast, Apple, iTunes, and Amazon Music, or you can visit our website at www.pricefg.com if you want to listen to a replay or anything like that. So I wanted to spend the next segment here today talking about something I think is, you know, very near and dear to all of our hearts, and that's, you know, four different ways that, you know, we see that taxes can ruin your retirement. Right, I know that sounds scary. Taxes are coming to ruin your retirement. But really, the idea is, hey, you know, there are ways that taxes can really throw a wrench in your retirement plans, right? Because a lot of people don't think about taxes in retirement. They think about taxes when you're working, because we all know about taxes, but they don't think about it as a part of their retirement plan. And it really can throw a giant wrench in, because the thing is, taxes, you know, continue throughout your life, right? That's the two things they say always, you know, the two guarantees in life are death and taxes, right? And if you underestimate the tax planning in your retirement plan, a lot of advisors that do retirement plans don't incorporate tax planning into their retirement. And so you have to really incorporate that planning into your overall plan, or excuse me, that taxes into the overall, incorporate planning into your plan. Great words. Incorporate the taxes into your overall plan, because they, you know, could really end up taking a significant portion, right? So if you're looking at, you know, I'm not working anymore, so I'm not going to pay taxes, right? Well, retirement distributions, Social Security benefits, and you know, your pension, if you have one, could potentially be taxable, right? So you could end up losing a significant portion. So really, there is a good amount that you can do to make your retirement plan more tax efficient. I'm going to talk about a couple different ways. There are lots of different things you can do. And as always, consult with your individual financial planner or your individual tax person when talking about your individual situation. But generally speaking, there are a couple different things that you can look at doing potentially to help to avoid this ticking time bomb that is, you know, taxes in retirement, right? The number one thing that people think about when we talk about retirement is Social Security, right? So Social Security is a big part of everyone's plan. And taking aside whether or not you feel good about Social Security and how long that's going to last for you in terms of, is it fully funded? When are they going to run out of funding? Really, if they just stopped borrowing from it, then we would be fine. But I digress, right? But, you know, a portion of your Social Security, it could be taxed unless all you're living on is your Social Security, right? So a lot of people don't realize that Social Security, you know, up to 85% of it may be taxable. So if your combined income, which is what they, you know, they look at the combined income, it's so dumb the way that they calculate it, but it's your adjusted gross income, which is any money that you made, right? Plus non-taxable interest. So interest, even if you got interest from a municipal bond, but it wasn't taxed, right? Plus half of your Social Security benefits. You add all that together, that equals your personal combined income. If it's above a certain filing limit, right, which right now, you know, it depends on your filing status, but, you know, rough estimates is around $30,000, $40,000. I don't have the exact number in front of me. Then you can pay taxes on a portion or up to 85% of your Social Security, right? So some of your Social Security will be taxable. So you have to plan for not all of that. So, you know, even though your statement says, hey, you're going to get $3,200 a month in Social Security, some of it may be taxable, especially if you're making too much money between all your other incomes in retirement. And so maybe you only get 85%, right? There's going to be a taxable portion in there. So you got to plan to look at how that taxability is going to affect you, right? You also want to make sure that you can begin taking Social Security at 62, but if you wait till longer, you're, you know, it's going to go up by 8% every year. Everybody knows that, right? By Social Security. So you can delay filing, right? So you can delay filing your Social Security till later, but then it's going to be a bigger portion. So a bigger portion will be subject, 85% of it potentially, to tax. Now, that doesn't mean it's 85% tax rate. So if you're making $1,000, $850 is taxable income. So it may make sense to look at diversifying your streams of income, right? To maybe using, you could use potentially, you know, permanent life insurance. You could use different annuity strategies. You could use different strategies inside your retirement plans from work to maybe figure out how to have less taxable income in retirement. And that leads into number two, right? Number two is the thing that most people have. Not everybody does, but most people have a 401k, a 403b through work. You know, it boggles my mind because when you talk to people, you know, have done a really great job saving, which is really great. You've done a great job saving. So you've got your 401k, you're fully funding it, which is amazing. And I'll tell you, that is just absolutely amazing. You need to fully fund it. Great. That sounds great. You're getting the match from work. That is great. So you've built up $1 million in your retirement plan. Let's say you've got your 401k is worth $1 million. And recent market volatility aside, you've got $1 million in there. Okay. A lot of people forget that every dollar that you pull out of that 401k, 403b, or IRA, if it's a traditional plan, is taxable. So you're going to pay taxes at your current tax rate. It also affects, like we talked about, if you have to take extra money out of there, right? That's going to be taxable. It's also going to make your Social Security possibly be more taxable because you're making more money. Every dollar that you take out of an ordinary, a traditional IRA, traditional 401k or 403b is taxed at ordinary income, right? So what do we do about it? Well, you could potentially use a Roth IRA or a Roth 401k in your current status, right? If you're working and you have a 401k option, you potentially could consider putting money into a Roth 401k rather than a traditional 401k. Now, it's going to hurt a little bit on the paycheck right now because it is not a deduction, right? It is taxable income when you get paid it, but you're putting it into the Roth 401k and it can grow tax-free until you take it out. And now it's tax-free when you withdraw it, right? You can also consider converting traditional IRA, 401k, or 403b assets into a Roth IRA. You can do that either when you do a distribution from your 401k or once you get it to an IRA. Now, you can potentially, right, make more money over the long term if you think tax rates are going to be higher later on. Now, it is a taxable event when you convert assets, right? So you're working right now, and if you do a conversion, it is taxable to you as income this year doing that conversion. You also, in that Roth IRA, if you're doing contributions to a Roth IRA, you can pull any of the contributions out at any point without any penalty, right? We've gone over that before. You can also, once you turn 59 and a half, as long as the Roth IRA has been there for 5 years, five tax years, okay, you can pull all the dollars out of that Roth IRA and it is tax-free. So I talked earlier about potentially delaying your Social Security income until later. So maybe you need to supplement that if you are pulling the trigger on retirement. Maybe you can pull money from your Roth IRA to help supplement it, and it is not taxable. So that's potentially a way to save some money on taxes. Additionally, and we're going to talk about the next one, which is RMDs, right? Additionally, a Roth IRA and Roth 401k, you know, you don't have to take RMDs from your Roths, right? So when you have a Roth IRA and you turn 70 and you say, hey, Bo, I've done a great job. I've got a pension, which we'll talk about in a little bit, and I've got Social Security, and I've got maybe my rental income over here. I don't need to pull any money out of my retirement accounts. And I have several clients that don't touch any of their money in their retirement accounts because they've done such a good job. We've worked to build out their savings and their plan. So they don't want to touch their retirement accounts, but the government is going to make you at age 73, okay? Remember, when you turn age 73, they're going to make you take out, and it's roughly 3.8% of your balance you have to take out and pay taxes on. And honestly, if you don't, then they're going to have the biggest penalty that the IRS imposes, and that's 50% of that balance. So if you were supposed to take out $5,000 and you don't, they're going to assess a $2,500 tax penalty. Oh, by the way, you still have to take that $5,000 RMD. Oh, by the way, if you pull that tax penalty, that excise tax out of your IRA and the $5,000, now you have $7,500 of earned income. So it's boosting your earned income, potentially making you pay more in taxes, potentially making you pay more in taxes on your Social Security income. Okay? So if you have a Roth, you don't have to do those RMDs. But what if we don't? We don't have a Roth, but we have a traditional IRA. Well, now you have RMDs. Okay? Now, if you don't need the money, right? If you don't need the money, but they're making you take it out and you don't want to bump yourself up into the next tax bracket, because we haven't even talked about IRMA, which is the Medicare increases that happen if you get too high in taxable income, but they're making you, they say you have to take $5,000 out, but you don't need the funds. If you are charitably inclined, if you tithe at your church, if you have a charitable cause that you support. Basically, if you would like to gift some or all of that RMD, you can do a qualified charitable distribution. Heard me talk about it before. I love the QCD. That's the abbreviation. We have so many acronyms in our business. You can use the QCD to give some or all of that RMD to a charity, to a church, to a qualified 501c3 company. And guess what? You satisfied that RMD and you don't have to pay taxes on it. So now we've done both. We've gotten rid of that tax burden that we thought we had and satisfied the RMD so we don't get any penalties. So those are kind of two real ways you can get around an RMD, right? One, let's have money in a Roth either by converting or by rolling over your traditional IRA into a Roth, which is a taxable event, and you will have to pay taxes in the year you convert it or in the year you roll it into a Roth. But then once you get to RMD age, which right now is age 73, and that could change. They've moved the goalpost before and they will again. You don't have to take an RMD. Lastly, you don't have to leave that tax burden to your kids or your beneficiaries. If you have a traditional IRA, when they inherit it, they're going to have to take it out and spend their money. Uncle Sam wants his pound of flesh from your retirement account. It's been too long. You've been deferring the taxes for forever. He wants his pound of flesh, right? Okay. So lastly, and this is the last, you know, piece I'll cover in this segment in terms of taxable retirement income, because not a lot of people have a pension. But some do. A lot of folks in this area may have PERS. And if you have tier one PERS, that's a pretty darn good pension that you get for putting in all that time as a teacher or a firefighter or a policeman, a state employee. And that pension is 100% taxable as ordinary income. 100%. So they're going to take a chunk out of that. Uncle Sam's going to take a chunk out of that as well because it is taxable income. Now, the ways that you can get it, what do we do about that? Well, there's not a whole lot to be done about the particular piece of it being taxable income, except if you work in tandem with the other pieces of your retirement plan to look at where we can maximize income while minimizing taxes. And that may mean taking a lump sum and doing a rollover and doing small conversions. That may mean taking the single life annuity that they offer you, right? That pays you for your single life payment, and buying life insurance on yourself so that your spouse is not left in the cold. It may mean taking a joint life payout. It may mean taking a rising payout. There are a multitude of different options that are available with those pension plans, and PERS in particular has a lot of idiosyncrasies. So it behooves you to talk to your advisor about different ways to save money on taxes from all these different income streams, because once you do pull the trigger on retirement, taxes don't go away. So make sure that you're analyzing what portion of your retirement income is taxable, how to make it less taxable, and how to minimize those taxes. If you'd like to see how that looks on the Investing Simplified Roadmap, which is our proprietary planning piece, that's our program that we use to plan for our families that we serve to make sure that we are maximizing their retirement income, minimizing their retirement income taxes, and minimizing risk as much as we can. Right? Because you're never going to get rid of, you know, the risks that are out there. You're never going to get rid of the taxes. But if we can minimize them as much as we can, it'll help you have a better retirement, a better retirement savings. If you'd like to see what that looks like for your particular situation, or if you'd like us to take a second look at what your current advisor is providing in that space, give us a call, 503-253-3000. We'd love to sit down with you, get to know your situation, and tell you what we think. We'll be back with more Investing Simplified.
Leaving an employer can be stressful and overwhelming, but once the dust settles and you're at a new job or perhaps retired, it is important to consider your options for that retirement plan left behind. If this situation applies and you would like to hear more about options available for 401k, 403b, or other retirement account rollovers, please give our office a call at 503-253-3000 to schedule a complimentary consultation with someone on the team to go over your specific and individual situation. We will take the time to get to know you, your goals, and let you know what the best course of action is for you and your family.
And we're back with more Investing Simplified. If you're just now tuning in, thank you for joining us. And you may have missed, you know, what might be our best show ever. So if you did miss it, or you wanted to learn more about different things that we offer as, you know, as an advisor here in Portland to the families that we serve, you can visit our website, www.pricefg.com in order to listen to replays of the show. We also post via Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Amazon Music. We try to get those posted up soon after the show airs live here on radio. So wanted to spend this segment as an homage to the late, great Carl Jepsen and a little bit to my wife, who is a personal trainer, because it is a combination of both of what they do. So my wife makes people stronger mentally and physically. Carl liked to do lists, you know, the five things here, the six things here. So I want to spend some time in this segment talking about the five steps to a stronger financial plan. You see what I did there? So, you know, what happens is most people don't really know how to accurately assess, you know, probabilities. So we talk about financial planning. We build it with probabilities and risk incorporated into the financial plan. Most of the time, when people do a financial plan, it's on a spreadsheet and it's a straight line of average returns that you have to get over a certain amount of time, and you'll have this much money, and that's how much money I need to retire, some will say. But as a result of not knowing how to properly incorporate probabilities and risk, that means most financial plans are likely to fall apart the moment something goes wrong, something changes, something is different. And that means financial plans almost always fall apart because there's a million different things in our lives that we can't predict. Or maybe you didn't account for, or your planner didn't account for, or simply forgot to consider, right? I don't want you to think that doing a plan is pointless. It just makes me, you know, reference that a plan is a living, breathing thing. It is not a document that you set once and forget, right? So it is a process rather than a one-time event, right? Because we need strategies to build stronger financial plans that withstand the inevitable bad luck, you know, bad decisions, or even bad assumptions that we make. Because as planners, we are human and we have assumptions that might be bad, right? So you don't have to be able to predict the future, right? We're not trying to be right all the time with our plans. We're just trying to give risk and investments, right? You know, risk and investments, but risk in life, the respect it deserves, to build a plan that recognizes what's the probability of it working and how does a probability actually work, right? So the thing is, you know, most people, and even those who are really mathematically inclined, they have a trouble applying probability to a real life scenario, right? We could see that if you remember in 2016, you know, most people were shocked when Donald Trump won the presidency, right? When President Trump became president, because even the best pollsters that were polling likely voters only gave him about a 30% chance to win, right? 30% chance to win doesn't mean he didn't have any chance though, right? Not as probable to win. So the probability was only 30%, but it still happened, right? So if you look at looking at lower probability things that, you know, might or might not happen, we think most people psychologically just naturally will say, well, if it's only 30%, it's never going to happen, right? It's not going to happen. But 30% chance of something happening is very different than a 0% chance, right? So a 0% chance is something that, you know, you can say is never going to happen. But a 30% chance means that it could happen still. It just is less likely, right? So most plans use the Monte Carlo simulation, and we use those too, right? So it's a probability of success. But a lot of people will use that probability of success as a be-all, end-all to their plan. And it can be incredibly misleading, right? Because sometimes when you're younger, there's way more time to variables to play out differently, because if you're planning on inflation being 2.5%, for example, for the rest of your life, like it had been historically, and then suddenly inflation is 5 or 6 or 8, like it has been the last couple of years, right? You know, if you look at a situation in a math formula and you have a 70% likelihood of success, that's great. That's a good indicator that you're on the right track, but that doesn't mean that you just set and forget it, right? Because you're not all set just because it has a 75% chance of winning, right? So how do we assess for those risks? Well, first and foremost, to realize what risk is, right? So there's a quote. So the CFP board has a lot of speakers and a lot of CFPs that come out, and Carl Richards had a quote, you know, it's paraphrased. It was something like, you heard it at a conference, something like, risk is what shows up after you think you've thought of everything, right? It kind of makes sense, right? So what it means is the one thing you forgot to factor into the plan, that's most likely to be the thing that throws your plan for a loop, right? You can't account for every reality that comes to pass. You just can't. You can't plan for it. So, but what you can do, right, is use reasonable assumptions that aren't, you know, that aren't predicated on everything going your way as you go through. Okay. Because we talk about, you know, planning conservatively it's not necessarily conservatively, but it's having consistent assumptions across your plan, right? Because, you know, you may think, hey, you're in your 40s and right now you're, you know, peak earnings. And so then your earnings are have been growing by, you know, 5-6%. Maybe they're growing by 10-12%. You think that that's going to go on for the rest of your life in your plan, but it may not, right? So you also may stop working earlier. There's a lot of things that, you know, we can assume that are going to change, right? So we want to make sure that we're planning for no matter whether that continues or goes down. That could be investment returns, right? How long you have to invest. You could, inflation is one I mentioned earlier, right? So really, a rundown for you of kind of what goes into, you know, assumptions that go into a plan. And this isn't all by any means, but these are some of the big assumptions that we have to incorporate into the plan and not just plan conservatively, but like I said, plan consistently, right? So number one is earnings, like we talked about. How long do you expect to work? How long do you think you're going to make a current salary? Because you just don't know when maybe your body's going to break down and you're not going to be able to work as much, or something comes up, heaven forbid, you know, your spouse gets sick, your kids need some help. Maybe your kid is a really good, you know, soccer player and you have to go travel the world with him because he's traveling the world, right? So that's one thing that goes into it. So earnings, how long you're going to be working, right? Living expenses now, but living expenses in retirement, because I get that question a lot. Should I just plan for 75%? What's the rule of thumb for how much earnings I need to have, how much I'm going to spend in retirement? It depends. So you want to consistently plan and maybe overestimate how much you're going to spend and consistently look that over. And like I said, the plan is a living, breathing thing, right? So we talked about investment returns. A lot of plans assume a certain level of investment returns. And if you look historically, the S&P 500 has returned a certain average. But what if that average started with 2000, 2001, where you were 3 years straight down? What if it started with 2008 or 2022 or potentially where 2023 ends if we don't even know, right? So, you know, making sure that you are planning consistently for those investment returns and also how long you're going to feel comfortable investing, because you could go into it saying, I want to be invested for the long term, but then who knows what changes in your lifetime that may cause you to have a shorter time horizon. Inflation is a big one. I mentioned that earlier. Inflation. It's on top of mind now, so it's really easy to talk about, but it may not last this high this long, right? But so it's planning to maybe overestimate inflation and underestimate investment returns potentially, right? So you want to overestimate how much stuff's going to cost and underestimate maybe the investment returns you're going to get, and maybe underestimate your earnings potential and your savings potential. So you can build this plan that while it is living and breathing, can help to tackle these unexpected things that come up. You also want to remember, so number three on this list, remember that life happens outside the spreadsheets, right? So if you're really good with spreadsheets, you can make on paper, your retirement plan is going to be spectacular. But that spreadsheet doesn't capture the context of your everyday life, right? The quality of time in your life matters. I have this conversation with clients constantly where, you know, you can't take it with you, right? And so retirement's going to look very different in the first part than it is at the last part. And it's really hard, right, to make long-term decisions about your future self, because that's a self you don't know, right? So a strong financial plan recognizes that there is friction between, you know, where you are now and where you want to be. And you got to find a balance, because you need to enjoy your life, but you also want to enjoy retirement. And there's got to find that balance. So the plan helps you to properly identify how you can balance that out. So the next step that I would recommend for a stronger financial plan is to make sure that you are not depending on a single factor, right? So we just talked about wanting to be reasonable rather than aggressive or overly optimistic in assumptions, right? You want to also be careful about how much weight you put on one factor in the plan. And often enough, we see when we're meeting with folks, the one factor they put more weight on, right? The one factor they put more more reliance on is bonuses or commissions. So if you're in a job or a career where you get bonuses or commissions that consistently recently have been getting you 50 or 100% extra pay, maybe scale back that on those assumptions, because you just don't know what a job change is going to happen, right? If you have a pension, you don't know what that payout's technically going to be 20 years from now, 10 years from now, because there might be job changes. You might have to change jobs. You might want to change jobs, right? If you get RSUs, if you get IPOs, if you're part of a company that's issuing stock, and right now, so we've got a couple of them right here. A lot of folks get Intel RSUs and Nike RSUs, and that can be really great. But don't depend on that one company's stock too much. Too often, I find folks that work at those companies really believe in their company and believe in their company's stock. And so they put too much weight on the performance of that one stock. Just like we don't want to diversify our investment options, you want to diversify the reliance in your plan on different factors. You want to make sure that multiple things can help you get to a successful plan. Finally, the fifth portion, or the fifth, you know, strategy for beefing up your financial plan is one I think that is relatively obvious if you think about it, and that's accounting for change. Okay, because things change, and sometimes it's change by choice. You're changing jobs, you're adding a member to the family, you know, you are deciding to get married or get divorced. All those things are maybe choice, can be positive or negative. You choose to move, to relocate to a different state. But there's a lot of changes that you don't see coming, right? And a lot of those involve negatives, usually losing, you know, a spouse, losing your job, losing, you know, a pension, all those different things that you don't have access to anymore. You want to make sure that the plan accounts for change. And the easiest way to account for that change is to build a buffer in. And it's not just a financial buffer, but it's a buffer in planning for those goals, right? So buffering in, hey, we have this plan of retiring at this date, but if change happens, be prepared to maybe save more or retire later. Be prepared to maybe be working longer at a part-time job, or maybe be living a little bit less of a, you know, lifestyle than you thought in retirement because change happens. So building that buffer in there can help alleviate the pain from that change if it is a change that you didn't plan on. So that, you know, that's the key there, is adding those pieces to your financial plan, because a financial plan is only as strong as its parts, whether it's your assumptions, whether it's, you know, your goals, whether it is the pieces that you're using to build that plan. It's important to help beef that up by building out a robust financial plan that is holistic, that looks at all aspects of your life and accounts for all these different factors. And if you're not doing that, or you don't know if your plan is doing that, if you don't know how your plan is going to affect these ins and outs, or be affected rather by these ins and outs, give us a call, 503-253-3000. We are happy to sit down with you to go over your plan, to build it into our simplified retirement roadmap that we have for our families that we serve, and see how it matches up. And that's the only way to really to get peace of mind about it, is to have that second opinion, right? You don't want to get a second opinion from the guy or gal that gave you a first opinion. So give us a call or visit our website at www.pricefg.com. That first appointment with a member of our squad is always complimentary. It's not a high sales environment. We want to get you the information that you need to make an informed decision, to make sure that you and your family are set up to reach your goals. And whether that's retirement, college saving, paying off loans, any of the above, we are here to help for you, our listeners. We appreciate you tuning in. Please stay tuned. We're going to be back with one more segment of Investing Simplified.
Leaving an employer can be stressful and overwhelming, but once the dust settles and you're at a new job or perhaps retired, it is important to consider your options for that retirement plan left behind. If this situation applies and you would like to hear more about options available for 401k, 403b, or other retirement account rollovers, please give our office a call at 503-253-3000 to schedule a complimentary consultation with someone on the team to go over your specific and individual situation. We will take the time to get to know you, your goals, and let you know what the best course of action is for you and your family.
And we're back on Investing Simplified. I'm Bo Caldwell, CFP, President and CEO here at Price Financial Group. I want to thank you for tuning in today. Thank you for listening. We should have Matt and Matt at least on back next week to do another show for you. It may involve me as well. We'll see if we get the whole crew together. In the coming weeks, we're going to have some experts on to talk through Medicare, to talk through real estate investing, to talk through various and sundry other things that we have on the docket for you. But if there's a question that is keeping you up at night, something that you'd like to learn more about or have us cover, I like to do that in the final segment to close out the day, is questions that come from listeners, questions that come from our clients, from the families that we serve, and make sure that we're getting information out to you that is prevalent. So send those to askbo@pricefg.com. That's askbo at pricefg.com. So I wanted to close today with a question and spend a little time because I think it is prevalent based on what's been happening in the banking sector lately, as well as what's been happening in the rate area. And I get questions a lot about where to find the best rates on CDs. And the reason I bring up the best rates of CDs, because this is public information that you can shop and find at just about any bank around town. You can also find it at brokerage houses. And there's a difference between a bank CD or a credit union CD, as well as what is called a brokerage CD. And a lot of people may have heard of brokerage CDs. And the reason that they are in vogue is they tend to have higher interest rates. And the brokerage CD has a higher interest rate for one reason, generally speaking, and one reason only. And that is the fact that you cannot redeem that CD prior to maturity. If you want to get out of the CD, you have to sell it to someone else on the open market. And they may pay more or less for that CD than you paid for it. So while the principal is fully guaranteed in most of them, and I would recommend only getting a principally guaranteed FDIC insured brokerage CD, what that means is if you get a 5-year CD at the bank, you could, in between the first 5 years, take that CD back to the bank and redeem it. Then you forfeit some interest, but the bank doesn't know that they get to use your money, because that's right, folks, a CD is a loan. You are loaning your money to that financial institution for them to use for that specified period of time. That's why they pay you interest. That's what a CD is, right? That's what a savings account is. That's why savings accounts generally don't pay as much interest, because you're only loaning them liquid money. You could take it back at any time. But CDs, the bank reasonably assumes that you're going to leave your money there for that amount of time. In a brokerage CD, the bank knows that they can use that money because they either have to pay you back the principal you put in at the maturity of that CD, or they have to pay whoever you sold the CD back at the maturity of that CD. But they know that it will not be redeemed early. So why would the price move, Bo? Well, the price might move on that brokered CD for two reasons. One, because there is accrued interest. So if that CD is, say, a 5-year CD that pays interest annually, then there might be accrued interest if you sell it 6 months in, very similar to a bond. Also, very similarly to a bond, the price may move because interest rates in the broader market move. So if interest rates go up, then the price on bonds, generally speaking, goes down. So if interest rates are higher now than when you bought the CD, there is a distinct possibility that if you try to sell it, someone will require a discount. They will only pay you 90 cents on the dollar, maybe, or they will pay you less than the premium you paid for that CD. That doesn't mean it's a bad thing to own. Brokered CDs also sometimes are sold improperly when they are market-linked CDs or not principally guaranteed. Those are ones that I would say we should watch out for, because there's no reason to ever buy a CD if it's going to pay you less than what you put in. That's the whole point of a CD, right? Is safety. It's FDIC insured, principally protected by the FDIC. So that bank, these are big banks, not just, you know, fly-by-night banks that are offering these brokered CDs. So you can get them from Schwab Bank. I've seen Wells Fargo Bank. And, you know, lately, we've seen rates as high as 5% on a 1-year CD. Now, that depends on the day and depends on what bank is offering it, but I have seen those in the last few weeks. Okay? So a brokered CD can make a lot of sense as part of your overall portfolio, especially if it is, you know, it is only a part, not all, of your portfolio, and it's principally protected and it's FDIC insured. Now, sometimes brokers will charge a commission on that CD, or they will charge a fee to hold the CD. And that doesn't mean it's a bad thing. You just want to make sure that they tell you what the net interest rate is, which is often called the yield to worst, or they can explain to the interest rate, where some investment advisors will have, they'll say, hey, we've got this CD that you can have, and it is 4.5% net interest. What that may mean is they're charging 0.5% interest per year on that CD, even though it's paying 5. That's okay, because if that rate is still higher than the rate you could get at the bank, who cares, right? Now, if they have a commission on them, they need to disclose that too and make sure that this commission is incorporated into what you actually get returned, because you want to make sure that you know what the interest you're going to get on that CD is, what the actual net return to you is. Because you don't want to buy that CD if it's going to return less than a CD at the bank, or less than a savings account potentially at the bank, right? Because I've seen a lot of online savings accounts right now that are paying really good rates. sometimes it can be a pain to set that online CD up. And sometimes that's because, well, they don't have branches, right? And that's why they're able to offer such a great rate, is they don't necessarily have the easiest way of getting into it. We talked about I-bonds before, right? And I-bonds have dropped. The I-bond on a 10-year bond has dropped to 5% most recently. So CDs can be a very attractive option. What I tell people when they ask me about CDs is rate shop. Find out who's offering you the best rate. As long as it's FDIC insured, I don't care if it's, you know, Comerica Bank, if it's Citibank, if it's Ally Bank, if it's JP Morgan Chase. Personally, I don't care who's offering it because it has that FDIC insurance, right? Who's going to offer me the best rate? And secondarily, who's going to offer me the ease of access? Because potentially, if your credit union is offering a 4.6% CD and a brokered CD is 4.8%, how much money are you putting in there that 0.2% is really going to make a difference if your credit union also has your checking and savings account, right? And maybe you get some bonuses from bundling everything together. A lot of banks do offer those. So if you've considered rate shopping and you want to know what rates are out there, give us a call. If you want to learn more about brokered CDs, or your advisor has talked to you about a brokered CD and you want to know more about it, see what it's all about, I'll give you the lowdown on it, tell you what's good, what's bad, and what I feel about it. Give us a call, 503-253-3000, or visit www.pricefg.com. We've got locations here around the Portland metro area. We're happy to meet you virtually or in person. And as always, for radio listeners, that first appointment with us is absolutely free. It's not a high sales environment. We don't charge you anything. We'll tell you what we think. We'll tell you how it would look if you worked with us and wanted to be one of the families that's served by us, and how we can help. And if it makes sense, great. And if it doesn't, at least you got a professional second opinion, like I said, right? So you want to make sure that you're doing the right thing. If you want CD rates, you want to see what the best fixed interest rates are out there. If you're willing to take a little bit more risk, perhaps, maybe you get a little bit more return. Maybe. Doesn't always work out that way. But there are lots of options out there to get you really good fixed income right now if you're not feeling great about, you know, the volatility in the markets, which a lot of people aren't. So give us a call, 503-253-3000. We'd love to talk to you. We'd love to meet with you. We'd love to help. Thank you so much for listening today. As I said, we're going to get Rebecca back in here to talk Medicare. We're going to get Chris to talk mortgages. We're going to get some real estate experts in here. We've got a lot of people on the docket and a lot of things coming down the pipe. We will be back next week with more Investing Simplified. Take care and God bless you all.
Leaving an employer can be stressful and overwhelming, but once the dust settles and you're at a new job or perhaps retired, it is important to consider your options for that retirement plan left behind. If this situation applies and you would like to hear more about options available for 401k, 403b, or other retirement account rollovers, please give our office a call at 503-253-3000 to schedule a complimentary consultation with someone on the team to go over your specific and individual situation. We will take the time to get to know you, your goals, and let you know what the best course of action is for you and your family. Investing Simplified is brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisory firm. Price Financial Group has been doing estate planning since 1970 and investment and retirement planning since 1975. Individual situations may vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial program with a certified financial planner, estate planning attorney, and a certified public accountant to answer your questions for free. Leaving an employer can be stressful and overwhelming, but once the dust settles and you're at a new job or perhaps retired, it is important to consider your options for that retirement plan left behind. If this situation applies and you would like to hear more about options available for 401k, 403b, or other retirement account rollovers, please give our office a call at 503-253-3000 to schedule a complimentary consultation with someone on the team to go over your specific and individual situation. We will take the time to get to know you, your goals, and let you know what the best course of action is for you and your family. The opinions voiced in Investing Simplified with Bo Caldwell are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with an attorney, accountant, financial, or tax advisor prior to investing. Investors cannot invest directly in indexes. The performance of any index is not indicative of any investment and does not take into account the effects of inflation and the fees and expenses associated with investing. A diversified portfolio does not assure profit or prevent losses in a declining market. Roth IRA conversion is a taxable event. Guests on Investing Simplified are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investment services offered through Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, an SEC registered investment advisor. Leaving an employer can be stressful and overwhelming, but once the dust settles and you're at a new job or perhaps retired, it is important to consider your options for that retirement plan left behind. If this situation applies and you would like to hear more about options available for 401k, 403b, or other retirement account rollovers, please give our office a call at 503-253-3000 to schedule a complimentary consultation with someone on the team to go over your specific and individual situation. We will take the time to get to know you, your goals, and let you know what the best course of action is for you and your family.